It's just the rest of Yeshiva. So I was asked to give a little bit of a, farewell. Sichas Musar, for those who don't know, I'm going to be making Aliyah with my family this summer. So as good as this night seder, this year has been a night seder, I've really enjoyed learning with everyone. Unfortunately, or fortunately for me maybe, unfortunately also, I won't be continuing with you guys next year, but I'm sure it will continue to be a great limud here in the yeshiva. But I wanted to share maybe a bit of a farewell message. What is a farewell message exactly? But a thought, really, that I've had over my years here. And here's an opportunity to share something I think is really essential to everyone's experience here in yeshiva, whether it's guys in college, and it's also a lot of these sodas here are going to apply to guys in smicha and whatever they're doing here. So it starts with a word from Rav Moshe in last week's parsha, Parsha Kedoshim. And Rav Moshe notes, you know, we're so used to, we learned, because Gemara is in Sanhedrin this year, so we know that the Azharos for Arayos are in Parshas Achremos, and the Onchim are in Parshas Kedoshim, and we're, this Parsha is the Azharos, this Parsha is the Onchim, but we don't think about the fact, notes Rav Moshe, that there's this big interruption right in the middle of the Azharos and the Onchim. You would have thought, have all the Arayos for Parshas Achremos, tell us who you're not allowed to be with, and then just go right into the punishments. Says Rav Moshe, we interrupt with Kedoshim to you. Beginning of Parshas Kedoshim introduces all the halachas that are going to follow with Kedoshim to you. So I asked Rav Moshe, why is that put there? Why is that in between? Why do we have an interruption between the Azharos and the Onshim? He answers this question based on another issue he has, and that is the pasuk we say every day, Magid Dvarav LeYaakov Chukav Mishpatav LeYisrael. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, teaches the Torah to Yaakov, Chukav, and Mishpatav Yisrael, the laws to the Jewish people. Mishpatim Bal Yadum Haluka. But the Goyim don't have the Mishpatim. Why don't Goyim have Mishpatim? The Goyim have laws. They're secular laws. They're laws in America. What's this idea here that the non-Jews don't have Mishpatim? So explains to Moshe, the legal system for non-Jewish people, or for the secular legal system, has punishments. But what's the point of the punishments in a secular court system? Now they talk about its corrective system, but really, at the end of the day, the punishments are meant to protect other people. You know, when you hear people talk about the law, you know, we got to keep the bad guys off the streets. So the point of having punishments, the point of putting people in jail and giving other punishments is to prevent them from hurting others. That's the point of the penal system. And says Rav Moshe, If that's the point of the system, to scare people, to either get people off the streets or to scare them from violating the laws in the future, from hurting people in the future, so then, says Rav Moshe, you're sometimes going to have very harsh punishments because you want to kind of scare them. If anyone's following New York politics, so they have these very harsh punishments for New York politicians because they want to stop them from stealing money from other people. So that's how the penal system works. But says Rav Moshe, obviously HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't need this. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't need punishments in order to protect His people. If Hashem wants to protect other people, Hashem will make sure they don't get hurt. So why do we have punishments? Says Rav Moshe, the purpose of Onshin in the Torah is to make us recognize this is a big deal. If we have an Onesh HaChomer, we have a Chiyuv Misa, Chiyuv Kares that we have for the Arayos, that's to recognize this is a big deal. This is a big Avera. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want us involved in this. And so the Onshim are meant to highlight to us what are the things we should be working on for ourselves. If we realize, oh, this is an Aver that carries with an Onesh HaChomer, so I realize for myself, I need to work on myself, and I realize that I need to improve. I shouldn't be involved in this. I should be doing the right thing. I should be following the Torah. I shouldn't be doing this. I need to improve myself. Now says Rav Moshe, that attitude doesn't come naturally. It doesn't come naturally to recognize that. Oh, punishment, oh, I have to improve myself. The natural reaction, says Rav Moshe, is when you get a punishment, you say, I don't want to get caught, so I'm going to avoid it. I think we've all been through that at some stage in life or the other. You wanted to just avoid the punishment. It's not, we didn't, you know, I don't know, if we were kids, we thought like, oh, we have to really improve ourselves because we have to become better people. No, we just didn't want to get caught. We didn't want to get in trouble, so we avoided doing what was wrong. But that's not, again, that's not the Torah's Ashkav, that's not why HaKadosh Baruch Hu needs Onshin. And says Ramosha, that's why we have the Hakdama of Kedoshim to you. What is the imperative of Kedoshim to you? What's the Torah telling us with Kedoshim to you? So I'll quote to you. Good thing I wrote it down because I didn't find the draft Moshe on the shelf now. But Ramosha says, Kedoshim to you is Lishanos Kultivo Vidarko, to change your nature and your way of existence, Shekol Gufo V'chol Machshevosa of you Keben Torah. That your whole essence, your whole body, everything you do, and all your thoughts should be like a Ben Torah. That's Kedoshim to you. To change your nature. Like we said, then naturally you're not necessarily going to think that way. But Kedoshim to you tells us we have to work on ourselves and we have to work on our mindset and our attitudes to look and try to make sure that everything we do is with the perspective and with the derech of a Ben Torah. And says Ramosha, if you have that attitude, if that's how you're thinking about life, and your thoughts are, what is a Ben Torah supposed to be doing? So then when you have an Onesh, you'll recognize that's what the Torah is trying to tell us. The Torah is trying to tell us, you Ben Torah, this is a big deal, you shouldn't be involved in this. And then we'll be able to get the right message. And Ramosha points out, I have to work out all the details, but he points out that's some of the mitzvos here are really also only possible when you have this attitude. For example, he says, Kibud Av V'Em. So that's the first mitzvah after Kedoshim to you, is Ish Imo V'Aviv Tiro. So Kibud Av V'Em, if you don't really have this Ben Torah attitude, so, you know, sometimes you think, I know better than my parents, or I want to do it this way, I don't really care what my parents say. And it's with the attitude of a Ben Torah, with that humility of looking to the Torah and thinking, okay, this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from me, so then you can really fulfill the mitzvah properly. Or Matnos Aniyim, he says, another example, you know, giving tzedakah. So the optimal form of giving tzedakah, really the way we're supposed to think about tzedakah, is that it's not that I'm giving my money to the ani, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has put this money in my hand that I should hand it over to the ani. It's not my money. It belongs to the ani. So that's these attitudes and the proper fulfillment need this mindset of Kedoshim to you. But going back to our point, that explains, says Ramosha, why you have the introductory break between the Azharis and the Onshin of Kedoshim to you to make sure that you don't have the mistaken attitude that I just should avoid the Arayos because I don't want to get in trouble. I don't want to get Achi of Misa, Achi of Karis. No, I have to realize that the Onshin are to send a message to me what my perspective should be on these averos and how I need to improve myself. Now, Kedoshim to you applies all the time. This is a mandate we should live every day of our lives. Wherever we go, whoever we encounter and whatever we encounter, we have to work on ourselves to have this attitude of thinking as a Ben Torah, that all my thoughts and all my physical body, we are striving to having that be done in a way that's in accordance with the Torah, it's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from us, and not just kind of going naturally and maybe going following our own natural desires, our physical desires. We have to train ourselves to think in this mindset of a Ben Torah. And the years in yeshiva are the most critical years for building this up. I don't know enough psychology, but they say that, I've heard this quoted before, that you know, your kind of mind, for most people, the development of their minds and their views of the world kind of shapes in the post-teenage years, the years that we're in yeshiva. So it's critical that we spend these years, that we're in yeshiva, we spend this year trying to do what Ramosha says, L'shanos kol tivo v'darkos kol guvo v'chol mashavosav yukim ben Torah. Now, it can happen later in life. There are stories, there are people who are able to shift their mindset later in life, but on the whole, the time that many people make many changes in their life is during these years, 18 to 23, 25. I was once listening to Rav Aaron Lopiansky, who was Rosh Yeshiva in Silver Spring, so I think it was in Torah Trag a few years ago, so maybe someone was there, but he was talking about this point, how these years are so important to kind of set your attitudes. So he said that you don't really find dramatic changes in people when they're later in life. These years, it's very common, not only in the Jewish world, you have dramatic changes. People go to college and they shift the way they were before. And so it's normal in these years, a person maybe wasn't such a Ben Torah, this is the time to shift their attitudes, as Ramosh says, to become a Ben Torah. He said, Lamashal, you know, he said he had a neighbor in Silver Spring, maybe, a Chassidish Yid, with a Bekesha and a Strimal and the whole thing, a beard. And he moved to Eretz Yisrael, and he said he met him a few years later, and he was walking around with a mustache and a kippah sruga. And it was just a funny scene. Like, you don't normally see a 60-year-old person change his garb and change his whole way of life just like that. It's, you know, an 18-year-old, that might happen. He was a chassid, he became a dati lumi. That's normal. But a 60-year-old doesn't happen every day. So these are the years to really invest in this. And in order to do this, it's essential that we have our priorities straight. We have priorities of what to accomplish in our years in yeshiva, in our years in YU. And I think there are really two main priorities. There are other things we can accomplish, and we'll talk about that in a minute, but there are two main goals. And I think the two main goals are, number one, to work on this point, to shift our way of thinking, that we should be thinking in the way of a Ben Torah, we should be acting in the way of a Ben Torah, we should work on our davening and our learning and our midos, our Yiras Shamayim, and all that aspect of our life. And the other important point and why we're here is to set ourselves up to make a parnasa. Guys are in college, guys are in smicha. There are things that we're doing to prepare ourselves for the future to make a parnasa. That's also very important. And those are, I would say, our two primary goals. I always think it's important to make clear that the goal of Talmud Torah comes first. One story that just highlights that, when I was Shana Bet in Israel, so in Hakotel, one of the Rebbeim, one of the Israeli Ram gave a shmuz before the Bnei Brak Shabbaton. And he was trying to kind of give a pump up for the Bnei Brak Shabbaton, Rotziki, for those who were in Hakotel. So he said, you know, you guys grow up in a culture where the concern of your parents from a young age is, how's my son going to make a living? Like, that's what your parents are thinking. Like, they're concerned how they're going to make a living. Of course, they want you to be religious and everything, but they're like, what's bothering them is, what's my son going to do to make a living? And said Ritziki, you go to Bnei Brak, and you come to a world where the concern of every mother is, the primary concern is not, how's my kid going to make a living? Okay, maybe they don't think enough about that, but that's not important for now. But the primary concern of every person is my son going to be a Yiras Shamayim? Is my son going to be a Ben Torah? Is he going to learn? And that's something for us to learn, because that has to be our number one concern. Our number one concern for our children, but for ourselves, is, are we going to be Bnei Torah? Are we going to grow in our Yiras Shamayim and our Avodas Hashem? I think he pointed this out. I don't remember if he was the one who made this Ara, but the Rambam Hilchos Talmud Torah starts. Now, you'd expect the Rambam to tell you there's a mitzvah to learn Torah. That's how you expect the Rambam to begin Hilchos Talmud Torah. But the Rambam begins, Noshim Avodim Uktanim Pturim Talmud Torah. They're Pturim, and some, you know, Katan, the father has to teach him, goes on. Only in Halacha Ches does he say, Kol Ish Mi Yisrael Chayev B'Talmud Torah. Every Jew is Chayev B'Talmud Torah, and then he gets into that aspect. It seems from the Rambam like it's almost obvious that Talmud Torah, of course you're Chayev in Talmud Torah. That's kind of the starting point, and then I don't even have to tell you you're Chayev in Talmud Torah. And then I tell you what the Pturim are. So that's the same point that we have to develop in ourselves, that it's so obvious that this is something we need to work on. This is our top priority in life. Someone pointed out to me, Derech Agav, I was mentioning this to someone, and they pointed out to me, getting married is also a very important goal, and I agree, that is, it's very important. It's not like always a day-to-day thing, but I will add that getting married, when we think about that, should be along the lines which we're stating as our top priority. We're looking for a wife that's going to join us in that endeavor of Lashanos, Tivo, Vidarko, Kol Gufo, V'Kol Machshavo, so you can Ben Torah. That's who we should be looking for in a wife as well. But it's not a schmooze about dating right now. So back to the priorities. I was once talking to a guy when he finished college here, and he was I was talking to him, you know, what do you do in college, or you know, what year are you in, what program, and he was almost crying as he spoke to me, and said, you know, I got here from Israel, I was in YP, I was all excited, and then, you know, I joined the team, and again, the details here, the specifics are dependent on every person. Just as one example, he said, I joined the team, and it was too much for me, and I didn't do well in learning, and I barely ended up in IBC, and I didn't do well in college, I got bad grades, and he regretted, basically, his experience being here. That's a little bit of an extreme example, but the point is, we shouldn't leave our years in yeshiva regretting not accomplishing those top two goals. And anything we do here has to be weighed with the question of, are we accomplishing our top two goals? Are we accomplishing our priorities? Once again, our priority is to develop as Bnei Torah, the Kedoshim Tiyu, as Ramosha tells us, and we have to take our life seriously to prepare ourselves to make a parnasa. And the choice here, it's important to realize, we're not talking about choosing between good and bad. Hopefully we don't have any ra facing us to decide. That's obvious. We shouldn't be doing bad things. But as we go through life, and certainly as we go through time here in yeshiva, there are many good opportunities. There are many good things that are going on. There are sometimes even great opportunities available to us here. And we have to consider, are these great opportunities going to detract from my major goal? And if I don't become the Ben Torah I want to become, that we all dream to become, we have those dreams, what it looks like to be a Ben Torah, what it looks like to be that Oved Hashem with the davening and the learning and the mitzvos and the midos, to be in that optimal form. And if I take some great opportunity, do some great activity, and I lose out on developing myself, that's going to be very sad. And you will feel bad about it. Hopefully, you'll feel bad about it. But hopefully, you don't have to get there, because you make sure to keep the priority straight. I'll just give another example. I was talking to a guy who was telling me about his schedule. Again, he was on a sports team. But but he also, in addition, now that he was very into sports, I wasn't telling him that necessarily he can't be on the sports team, but he was also telling me about this, you know, this chesed he does one day during lunch and on Fridays. And I said to him, when are you going to learn and when are you going to do your schoolwork? And he said, yeah, I know, it's really tough, I'm not sure. And so doing chesed in that form might be a great thing. That's a great thing to do chesed, to help people. But it's going to take away from your major goals. It's just not worth it. It's not worth it. And you'll ask me, you're supposed to do chesed. So Rav Moshe has important tshuva, where he says for B'nai Yeshiva, 1/10 of their time should be given towards helping others. It could be in learning, but it doesn't have to be in learning. There are so many opportunities. I've said this before to some people. There are so many opportunities for chesed day to day. Just go over to that guy who's sitting alone in the calf. Go sit down with him. Go say something nice to someone who looks like he's having a bad day. That's a tremendous chesed. A real, real chesed that no one else is going to help this person do. And you can go ahead and do that. So you can be yotze, more than yotze. You can be yotze mitzvah and a muvchar in your chesed. And also, that can be done without detracting from your primary goals. So this is something that's so important. It's really something that we need to be thinking about. And I left out the smicha guys. Come back to the smicha guys for a second. Smicha guys also, you come for smicha and you, again, are continuing to develop in your learning. You're also preparing for your career in whatever field you're going to be in. And it's important not to miss that primary goal of developing yourself, developing in your learning, developing in your shimur shamid hacham, and take the opportunity, this goes for college guys as well, for everyone. There's so many great rebbeim to take advantage of here, to learn from, to develop hashgafas l'chaim. These are the years to invest in that. You don't get that opportunity to spend that much time with great Talmid Chacham and great Rebbeim in the future, and as much time in the Beis Medrash in the future. So these are really the years to invest. And as people like to say, why is the microcosm of life? Sometimes people say that in a bad way, sometimes people say that in a good way. Whatever way you want to take it, it is a microcosm of life. Life gets busy. And like the Maseilas Yesharim tells us, when it comes to life, life is very confusing. You get lost in a maze. And you get tricked, and you don't know exactly which path you're going. And what do you have to do to get through that maze? You have to find someone who's been through the maze, who's succeeded, who's climbed to the top, and go seek his advice and see how he can guide you through the maze. Of course, that's to seek out the advice of the Torah and our Rebbeim and Chazal. And so, the same thing holds true with that challenge in YU. It's not always easy to figure out exactly what's the best way to make to achieve these goals. But these, we have to be clear that these are our primary goals. We have to give it thought. Again, the answer is going to be different for every person. Every person has different things they need for themselves. Everyone needs some relaxing also. What's the relaxing that's going to work for every person, again, is a very personal choice. But everyone has to take the time to think about these things and should really seek etza and hadracha from those who have been successful, from maybe some of the older guys we look up to in the Beis Medrash, certainly the Rebbeim, to really make sure that we achieve those goals. And Mirtz Hashem, if we put in those that time, and I can tell you for myself, I can't say I maximize all the time, but I know I put in a lot of time here, and I look back with a tremendous sense of satisfaction of what I've gained from the learning, from the avoda, from the Rebbeim that are here, and I wish upon all of you that you'll be able to do the same. You'll be able to have a lot of hatzlacha here in the yeshiva, and when you walk out, you'll walk out, as Rav Moshe says, thinking in the way of a Ben Torah, and we'll continue to live our life, getting closer and closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu.